Tune into an all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns tonight at 7 on Sportstime Ohio with a look into the lives of Cleveland Browns players on and off the field. That's 7 tonight on Sportstime Ohio. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The Browns seemingly under fire in the media today, a kind of a firestorm. And I just, there's one comment we were talking about between the break that Tim Couch made that said the pressure got too much and got to Brian Hoyer. I just think handling pressure is an absolute essential component of being an NFL quarterback. And to say I couldn't handle the pressure, I just don't get that.
Absolutely. And my point is, you look at what type of scrutiny does Andy Dalton receive having been to the playoffs three consecutive seasons?
Tons. Because he hasn't won a game.
And the reason why is, so he's under pressure. He's the starting quarterback, enough so that they secured him for over a $100 million deal. So he's taken care of for the rest of his life. But to play that position, he is under pressure and scrutiny every single week, every single season. Look at Jay Cutler. He got broke off too with a big contract. He might not have a job next year in Chicago. You know, so the pressure to win is always going to be there. The scrutiny is always, that's why they pay you the big bucks to play that position, because it's not hard to, I mean, it's very hard to do, but it's very easy to criticize. And that's why in some cases, seeing more of someone or something is always a very good thing.
Yes. And yeah, yes, it is. 216-578-0850. We're going to the phones now, right now. Reggie in Youngstown, welcome to the show.
Fellas.
What's up, Reg?
Nothing too much. Listen, give me a couple minutes here, right quick. Hey, Matt, first thing I just want to say real fast, I love the Ohio State Buckeyes, always have, but I can't tell a lie to you, brother. I do like Alabama.
It's all good, man. We'll have to make a friendly wager.
Yeah, Alabama.
I accept all bets.
Alabama's my second team. Ohio State is always my first team.
Go with your heart.
Sure.
Go with your heart.
That's it. Hey, listen, I was just going to say this, you know, in general and stuff. I was listening to the interview you did yesterday with the Browns safety, Leonard right there.
Yep.
And, Matt, I don't know if you caught it. You probably did in general. But when you was asking him a couple questions, one about how did it, I think something about Manziel, and then you came back and asked him, well, what is the feeling among the team? If you notice, he never answered neither one of them questions. And that's what me and you were talking about the other day. I'm telling you, it's dissension on that team, man. Because that team, the Cleveland really has a good team. And they are not playing, because it's a lot of dissension on that team. And far as Brian, you know, I'm a Hoyer man quite naturally. He hasn't really played real well. But I think in general for next year, for myself, they may work it out to keep him, but I hope that he goes somewhere else, man, because this way, people that like Manziel, you all are really get a chance to get a shot of what this cat is really about. And you're going to see, he's not the answer, man. He's not the answer. So, guys, I'm going to listen to y'all. Always good talking to you.
Talk you too, to Reggie. Thank you.
Yes.
Listen, is he the answer? Is he not the answer? I don't think anybody can say definitively one way or the other. You want to see some positivity over the last two games going into the offseason, and then you can evaluate it. It is very difficult, though, I think, to see a rookie get hurt, get crushed after one game. And right now, the people who didn't like Johnny Manziel feel that all of the things they believed why he wouldn't be successful were proven in one football game.
Yeah, and what's silly to me, though,
it's going
to
take time. I'm not saying he's going to be the answer.
No.
But he very well could be, and this one game is not ultimately going to decide whether he is or is not.
And I think that fan base, you know, the fan base or those Johnny lovers or haters, take a similar stance to Merrill Hodge. They want to be the one that, you know, since May when he was drafted, that said, I was right, and those who were in favor of Johnny, they want to say that they were right, and so and so was wrong. And it's those bar room office building, you know, conversations about someone always wants to be right and someone always wants to be wrong. And I think at this point, we don't have enough to base it off of, and it's very tough because everyone, Johnny included, played so bad on Sunday that to base that, then say he's going to be a good pro or he's going to be a bad pro or I told you so because of that, is ludicrous.
It certainly would have been more fun if he had a good game, and then you'd have all the people calling saying, oh, we've got our answer. And I would say at the same time, I don't know that we have our answer yet either. One game. Don in Solon, welcome to CBD.
Gentlemen.
How are you, Don?
Well, good. How are you guys? Merry Christmas
to you. Merry Christmas
to you
as well.
Thank you. Hey, you know, real quick, you know, this so-called firestorm to me is kind of laughable. You know, I've been a Bernie Kosar fan forever. You know, I got a lot of respect for him. I lost a little bit of it because of the way he handled this. You know, he's got a little bit of an axe to grind. The guy who was interviewing him has a big axe to grind with the Browns.
Sure.
And that has to be taken into account. I know you guys may not want to say it, but, you know, I agree. I'm glad Coach Pettine, you said that in his press conference. I didn't hear it today, because I was going to make the same statement.
And we'll air that at 2 o'clock here on CBD, okay, as full press conference.
Well, my point is, where was he when they were 7-4, 6-3, with those same comments? A lot of this, I'm sorry you guys are in the media, but let me just compartmentalize it, to use a word from Coach Pettine. It's from the parasites that are in the media. A family member of mine was talking to me over the weekend before the game this weekend about how great it was to have all this national media attention. My comment back to him was, be careful what you wish for, because if this blows up, okay, that attention's going to be all negative. I guess maybe it's because I'm 56 years old, I'm old, been a Browns fan my whole life. I like to come in under the radar on these type of things, okay, because you know what gets you positive attention? Wins. There is one thing that will upset me with the current owner of the Browns if he does blow this up. If he doesn't let, you know, I every year I got to hear about whether this coach is going to be back next year, whether this general manager is going to be back next year. You want to lose me? Get rid of those guys. You will lose me. You need consistency. And we have not had that in the 15 years that they've been back.
You're right. I think you're exactly right about that, and I think I feel like we finally have some positive momentum and a positive direction, and so to maintain that consistency is key. I know that there were some rumblings on some shows this morning that Mike Pettine was on the hot seat. That is the farthest thing from the truth as far as I know it, and I feel pretty comfortable that if that was even remotely on the table, that I would have an idea about it, and that is, I think, absurd.
I'm sure you would, and I believe you 100%. And I think, you know what it is, and it's the identity that Mike Pettine created, and when the getting was good, that identity was so strong. And when this team, and I think, as I said, you know, last segment, is a lot of it has to do with the injuries associated with this football team, is our identity wavered. You know, that means our inability to run the football consistently, put pressure on a quarterback that needed to rely on that run game, forced him to make decisions, forced him to be something he's not, forced him to press in those situations, and a defense that finally came into its own and is filling in spots, and guys are playing diligently, but you're a backup in this league for a reason. There's someone better than you on this roster. They happen to be injured, and those situations got taken advantage of, and our identity as a football team has wavered.
Yep.
And that's the hard part, is we've had to piece together football game plans with new people, new skill sets, you know, new angles, whatever it might be, to try to get one over on the team that we're playing. And it's just a matter of time in the National Football League until you're exposed, or those players, those backups are exposed, or those holes in your game plan as you're trying to overcompensate for someone less skilled or less talented or not as fast or doesn't run these types of route well. Those will get exposed in time. And I think that Marvin Lewis and the hellish week that he had, you know, after his, you know, silly comments on Monday, put in the extra time and built in that spite into his team and that payback and that chip and that evaluation of creating a game plan to go out and execute it the way they did. He can't be happier, and we're left, again, with the firestorm that we are, but it's our identity wavered from who we really are, and we weren't able to capitalize on what worked when our identity was so strong.
And I think that's a very good point and a very valid point about what happened there. And you look at the Browns and you look at their stats. You know, it's simple to see the recipe for success with this team, and it's simple to see when this team struggles. They need to be able to run the football. When they cannot run the football, this Cleveland Browns team is not good. I was actually doing a little bit of research on this today. The Browns are 5-1 when they rush for 100 yards. They're 2-6 when they do not rush for 100 yards. So that pretty much is the stat right there. And part of the problem is when since Alex Mack has gone down, they've averaged 4 yards per carry in a game just once in the last nine, and that was a game against the Atlanta Falcons. That's it. So it's tough when you're trying to run. You're committed to it. You're still going to keep yourself in some of those third and long situations, which has been certainly very, very difficult for the Cleveland Browns so far this season. 216-578-0850. We'll get one more in here before we take a break. Let's go to Keith in Cleveland. Keith, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Good. How are you, Keith?
How are you?
It's my first time calling this early in the day. I normally call in the evening.
Well, thank you for calling.
And the reason I was calling, I was listening to you guys, and I'm sitting there going, well, you know, let me call. Because it's to me, it seems the Cleveland Browns, and I'm not even going on Manziel because it really doesn't make a difference. The Cleveland Browns, the problem is their imagination of their play calling and everything else has to be based on the attitude of the players that they have out on the field, the ability of the players that they have, the strengths that they have. Like when the Warrior's out there, they know he's good when he fakes the ball and he's rolling out in the pocket. But yet and still, they had him sitting in the pocket. They know he's not that mobile. But yet and still, they still had him in the pocket. So but what it is, you have a problem with your offensive coordinator. That's what my problem lies with me. That's what I think.
You're not happy with the direction of the play calling. And certainly,
no. And the play calling in Cleveland has been the same for years. Run, run, pass, punt. Or either it's pass, 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 punt. Because there's no imagination what they do.
I, you know what? That's a great point, and that's something that I've been hitting on. You know, I would say in this, you know, downward spiral of the last 3 or 4 weeks, whether I'm in the press box watching it for a home game or at home watching it with a game on the road, there are certain situations where it's when we go run to no avail. You put a heck of a lot of pressure on those wide receivers. You put a lot of pressure on whoever is at quarterback, and it's just not a feasible down and distance for the skill level and talent at this point in the careers of any quarterback on our roster. You know, you talk to Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Would you rather be in 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 9? You know,
right?
It's hard to call that 9-yard route time after time after time after time and expect it to be open. So you're setting yourself up to fail. And so that is something that I think will be evaluated, that Kyle Shanahan, we were his biggest fans when the getting was good. And we're not just going to say, you know, well, when it got bad, you guys are just going to jump on him. No, it changed. And a lot of that, too, has to do with the injuries and having to try to overcompensate for injuries and also to overcompensate for the skills of the individuals on the football field.
And I do think the return of Josh Gordon had certainly been it has hurt more than it has helped. And I think it's helped kind of they've lost their identity a little bit there. The biggest one to me is that when you look at the ground game, which has been the key to the success of everything of this team, when Alex Mack got hurt, it really put a significant dent into the Browns' ground game. And there's no other way to look at it. Now, that happens to every team, and it's not an excuse. Nobody is making an excuse for it. But in the first 5 games with Alex Mack, the Browns rushed for more than 100 yards at 4 out of the 5 games. They were over 4 yards a carry 4 out of the 5 games. Since then, they've rushed for more than 100 yards just 3 times out of the last 9, and they've been over 4 yards per carry once. In fact, they've only been over 3.5 yards per carry twice during that span. So you don't have the ground game. It has disappeared, and it's been very difficult on this team and this offense. And a lot of it, because I get to watch the tape, I get to see what the coaches see, a lot of it is one guy gets blown up on the run play, and one guy happens to get blown up at a critical spot, and it seems like it's happening way too much. This offensive line has struggled. There's no question about that, and it's a team that needs that consistency and continuity up front to have a chance to have success. Look at, and this is true, listen, Brian Hoyer was a big victim of this because
yes, when
the ground game went away, Brian Hoyer's effectiveness went away. If he was able to have that ground game, Brian Hoyer probably is still starting a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely.
Right now.
And I think another great point, and again, this is for the football fans out there. Just look, take a peek out, and I hate to continue to talk about one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game in Peyton Manning, But Peyton Manning, watch his press conferences in the weeks as of late. He is so content throwing the ball no more than 30 times, you know, for 220 yards and maybe two touchdowns because of he plays at such a high efficiency level. But they're rushing for .120, .180, .195, .155. It's taking the pressure off him. It's actually keeping him fresher, you know, so that he can go deeper into the playoffs and not have to simply carry, which Peyton Manning and the greats can do, and Rodgers and Brady and those guys put the team. He doesn't have to put the team on his back every single week and throw, you know, 36 of 41 for 405 yards and four touchdowns. That's not expected. Those are crazy numbers.
Right.
And you can only do that for so long. So now Denver has diversified. Their offensive line has stepped up. They're finding guys.
C.J. Anderson.
Guys off the street, guys to fill in and play. The guys are playing off the streets in Arizona, another playoff football team in the NFC. You know, guys to fit that in. So it has to start up front. Physicality and a mindset to go dominate up front will allow any quarterback to succeed here in the Brown system.
No question about it. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue on the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Coming up at 2 p.m., we will have Mike Pettine's press conference from earlier today where he addresses what he thought about Bernie Kosar's comments, this team, Johnny Manziel, much, much more. That's at 2. Your calls right after this, and we're going to wrap up our first hour here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Come up with some smooth and waiting on the right time to make my move.